Supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, May 22nd, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Tuxknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, we talk with filmmaker Mariah Hayes about her film Dear Alaska, which will be playing in Juneau on June 7th. It's a documentary about Gen Z Thlinkit Shark siblings uncovering hidden family wounds to pave pathways of healing and lead celebrations of culture reclamation for their community. We'll also have local Metallica cover band One Eye Open here for a chat about their gig tomorrow at Tracy's Crab Shack 2. Yes, Tracy's will be open this summer at the Crab Shack 2. And Tara from CBJ Pools is here with swimming class information and more. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansengress.com/careers.
You're listening to KTOO's Thlinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk-U Bill Fawcett. And the word this week is hicht.
Hicht.
That means frog. And here's a sentence. There are very many frogs. Let's hear it again.
Hicht.
Frog. Gunath Cheesh to Chene Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o Ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Thlinkit Word of the Week from KTOO.
When I studied abroad my sophomore year of college, my sense of identity was continuously challenged. There's something missing. I long for it. I'm scared, constantly worried I'll tell these stories wrong.
I'm still trying to figure it out because you're young, so I'm starting to pick up pieces, what I like to call puzzles.
It breaks my heart because I see the cycle in my own family.
It just doesn't work like that. It's kind of a love for Earth and the land, the planet as a whole.
Our plants are our relatives. So if we think about that, they really are giving back to us.
The language, the prayer, beating, preparing food, whatever it happens to be, that's where the food really is. That's where all the learning happens. It's not at the end of the tunnel, it's actually in the tunnel. That's important. If nobody talks about it, it's dark.
Don't quit. You thrive.
The journey that actually is where the healing is. The journey is where you learn everything.
There's so much that you don't know about your parents till they tell you now, and it hurts sometimes.
We're just taught by it, and maybe a different way.
Yeah.
My ancestors are calling me back. So how do I respond? Dear Alaska, I'm coming home to you.
You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Ok Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. What we just heard there was the trailer for Dear Alaska, a movie that will be playing at the Gold Town on June 7th. And it will be playing there, and it's a film by Mariah Hayes. It's about reconnection to culture, identity, and oh so much more. The film is described as a Gen Z Thlinkit shark siblings uncovering hidden family wounds to pave pathways of healing and lead celebrations of cultural reclamation for their community. And I am pleased to welcome to the studio now Mariah Hayes. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you. Welcome in. Wasiti. How are you today, Mariah?
I'm doing really good. I feel a lot of love and just really good energy from all my family here.
Oh, that's so nice. So let's go back to the beginning. So I'm wondering, like, when did this project come to you? How did this project idea come into your space?
Yeah. So I think it really came to me when I was studying abroad in Ghana, actually, my sophomore year of college. And I was realizing when I was there, you know, I was experiencing such beautiful culture and community. And then, you know, they were sharing so much with me, like the Ghanaian community. And I felt like I didn't have as much to give back and like express, what my culture is. And I think that was like really kind of like a reality check of, I know I'm Thlinkit, I know I love salmon, but I don't know much more beyond that. Mm. And I was raised like with like knowing that and knowing my name too, which is really special. But I didn't know truly what that truly meant. And so I knew from that point that I needed to find that for myself, for my community, for my family.
What is your Thlinkit name?
Kiistla.
Nice. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Santa Clarita, California. Like just north of LA. Yeah, and then I went to school at University of California, San Diego.
I see. So how much of the culture did you have exposure to as you were growing up?
I grew up, always visiting family, here. I have a lot of family in Ketchikan. But it was still pretty minimal, I think, growing up, because it is really expensive to come out here from down south. So I honestly didn't have like that much connection growing up. Just because there was like a lot of different reasons why, it was hard to get up here, and it talks about it in the film of like why my mom actually chose to move down south. I think it's been a really big healing moment, I think, for all of us. All of my family kind of coming back together and coming back here.
Yeah.
And there's, more about that in the film as well. But
right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. Amazing people, right? Yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I had some artists on. There was a art show happening a couple months ago, and it was basically all about that, sort of like reclaiming culture because they had been disconnected basically from their culture as youth. And so they were bringing that all back together. And it seems like this generation is really sort of reconnecting to that. And so I'm curious, like, when did this journey start for you? Like, not just the film, but when did that sort of, you had that seed in Ghana, and then what happened after that? What did you do next?
My mom had moved back to Southeast, I think, when I was, like, my senior year of high school. So she had moved back before then. I think the seed kind of blossomed at the point when I was in Ghana, but I think it was definitely planted like when my mom moved back here and I was able to visit her in the summers and, you know, yeah, just like harvest fish and like beach asparagus and different, just being on the land, I think too, was really powerful and like, you know, made me just crave more and more of it and made me feel like I, you know, it's like, oh, I wish I had this whole time. And yeah, I think that's where the seed was planted.
Okay,
for sure.
And then you're a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and you studied film. Is that what you were? Was this born out of that sort of idea when you were in school and you wanted a project to work on? Is that where this began?
Yeah, it actually it started as my like senior honors thesis project at UCSD.
I see. Okay, mm-hmm. And are you most interested in documentary filmmaking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love, fiction filmmaking too. I don't have as much experience with it, but I really fell in love with documentary because I love hearing people's stories, talking to people, and like, I think documenting the connection that we all have together.
Mm.
I fell in love with just, you know, uplifting community like through film, through art. I think was, really, really touching and powerful. For me, like, you know, growing into film, into being a filmmaker, I wanted to share the stories that are continuously, you know, pushed aside and underrepresented, especially by, like, you know, dominant, you know, hegemonic media. And so I wanted to be a part of uplifting the stories that need to be heard.
Absolutely. And so is this the first time that we'll see Dear Alaska having been played here in Juneau?
Yeah, this is the Juneau premiere. And actually, it'll happen at the Aurora Grand Theater.
Oh, the Aurora Grand. Sorry.
Yeah.
I said gold. I meant.
No
okay,
worries.
Yeah. So you're going to do it at the Aurora Grand, and mm-hmm. it's going to be on that Sunday, June 7th?
Yep, at 3 p.m. So it's right after celebration. So hopefully not everyone's not too tired.
Right. Well, it's easy to sit down and watch a film,
right?
You get some popcorn, watch a movie and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to mention that you have had this film accepted into two Indigenous film festivals, the Native Women in Film and TV Festival in
mm-hmm.
LA
mm-hmm.
and the First Nations Film and Video Festival in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really cool. So that just gives it a little bit more of like, wow, this is something I really need to see, right? Like I need to see this film. So we watched the trailer there. We heard it audioly on the radio, but tell me a little bit about what we can expect in the film. I know we heard some familiar voices in there. Fran Houston's in there,
mm-hmm.
Well-known Junoite and mm-hmm. A Tlingit leader and just a wonderful speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But so tell me a little bit about the experience of getting this film made and all the people that you met.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The experience of making the film, it really paralleled the experience of reconnecting and connecting to community. In the film, actually, like, it is documented the first time meeting my Tlingit opposites, since I am Wushitan, Tusit. And so, it was really incredible to be able to have that kind of parallel happen of like, my family is meeting our direct opposites, our family, and I was able to document those moments. And so that's all in the film. And it's like, you see us getting closer too.
Mm.
And like, you know, right next door, we're having lunch with Bran. So, you know, it's like, it's come from it's come such a long way, you know, since then. And
mm-hmm.
it was really, really beautiful to be able to speak to my elders. And it was nice to interview them because I just had to ask who they were. And then they were like speaking for the whole time. And, you know, it was really, really beautiful to hear from them and to be with, like, you know, to reconnect with family because we are related.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, too, because I know a lot of times, I mean, there's different types of documentary, right, where
mm-hmm.
there's your as a documentary filmmaker, you might be, you know, filming a subject, but
mm-hmm.
in this case, you are the subject in some
right.
ways. Like that, you're in the narrative of
mm-hmm.
the film,
mm-hmm.
which is really intriguing, and
mm-hmm.
And that's that discovery that you're getting to witness. And like you said, you were able to sort of like document that as the process was going. So
mm-hmm.
That's really inspirational. Content for people to watch, and you know, hopefully other folks who maybe have not connected or mm-hmm. who want to be inspired to do more, even if they live here and they haven't connected, right? Mm-hmm. Might inspire them to do so, which is very cool. What is your hope for the film now? I know the film is a couple years. You've had it for a couple years in the can, right? Pretty much. Or do you keep changing it?
I mean, well, it has changed a lot in the production process, but it just premiered this year, in March at the LA Festival. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's premiering this year. It just came out, and yeah, this is the first time that Alaska will see it. So it's the Alaska premiere too here, and yeah, I love that you said that. You know, it the hope is to inspire people and. It's called Dear Alaska because it is a love letter to to our community, to Thlinkit people, to Native people across Turtle Island, to, you know, connect with your ancestors and not just, you know, Native people, just like anyone, connect with your ancestors, connect with who you are,
mm-hmm.
Cause we all have a community, we all have a place that we belong to. And so it's really encouraging people to kind of go within yourself and connect back with yourself in that way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause yeah, I also was really thankful to be able to interview some of my Native and Indigenous peers that I met at UCSD. So it has other storylines too of how colonization has affected all of us in different ways, but ultimately celebrates where we are today and like how these community bonds that we've made despite colonization is really strong and beautiful.
That's awesome. Do you have hopes that maybe you're going to take this other places in Southeast? Is there a plan for that?
Yeah, I want to screen it in Sitka and Ketchikan. I think there's going to be another Juno screening after this. And then, yeah, I want to take it anywhere. Hopefully Huna, too. It's all in the works. But, yeah, if anyone has any other recommendations, I
guess.
Yeah. I definitely
all over.
Take it
bring
everywhere.
It to Petersburg, yeah. Everywhere. That'd yeah. be really cool to see it just travel around. I think it's helpful for... everyone to see the film. Mm-hmm. And if people have want to find out more, I know you have a website. You want to give that out so people know where to find you and the film?
Yeah. So my production company is called Shark House Cinema. And so the website is just sharkhousecinema.com. And that is named in honor of Two's Hit Shark House. So
nice. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be... there on the 7th, will you do like a Q&A or something?
Yeah, yes, I will be there. I'll kind of introduce the film. My whole family will be there.
Wow.
And my auntie said there's hopefully there's some yummy foods from the land that we'll hopefully be able to provide to. no promises, but we're
right,
hoping.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And then we'll do a Q&A. And actually some the folks that I met at UCSD are also going to come up too from down south, and I have my executive producer, so I brought my whole crew up, and it's going to be a really good time.
So are you're not still in school, are you? Are you still
no.
in school? You're out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is your future plan, Mariah?
That's a good question. I want to keep making documentary films and highlight movements that need to be heard. I think the next film that the title just came to us as we're having lunch just now is Dear Dachanach. Dachanach, yeah. Because our family, the Tlinidi and Wushkitan are fighting to protect Burner's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a really, really sacred site for us. And, we need those lands so to be protected.
Yeah. So you might do a story about that?
Yeah, I think that's what's calling to me next. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And where are you going to sort of live in both worlds, LA and Southeast a little bit, so you can stay connected to the film world but also be here telling stories?
Yeah, that's the idea. I live in San Diego.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely want to move home, to Juno. And just be here more, I think, because I don't get to go home that often, but I definitely want to spend more time here and, I think move here eventually long term. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you're here now, or you have plans for the next couple of weeks before the movie comes out, or you just meet with people and hanging with family and stuff?
Yeah, just hanging out with family. I do go to Chicago for the premiere there in between now and Celebration.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's coming up then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. But then, yeah, I'll be back for Celebration and then I'm excited to see everyone there.
Busy travel schedule.
Yes.
I love that. That's so cool. It's excellent. This is a wonderful new film that you can see on June 7th at the Aurora Grand, which is a new theater in town. Down where the Gross Alaska Theater used to be. It's very cool, opening and doing all kinds of cool projects, including this one. The movie is called Dear Alaska. It's from Mariah Hayes, and it is documenting sort of your reclamation of your culture, which I think is really cool. That's so awesome. And thank you for coming on to Juno Afternoon and telling us about this project. Keep in touch and let us know when the next one comes, because we'd love to have you back. Is there anything else that you wanted to say today?
Just gunas cheesh. Thanks for listening. I appreciate, you know, being uplifted, and I hope to see y'all there 3 p.m. at the Aurora Grand on June 7th.
June 7th, 3 p.m. You don't have to dance or nothing. You can just sit and watch.
But if you want to dance.
But you want to dance, you can, right? For sure. Thank you, Mariah. It was a pleasure to have you here on Juno Afternoon. Gunas cheesh.
Gunas cheesh.
Maybe one of the greatest riffs ever recorded from Metallica, that's Enter Sandman. And there is a name inspiration in there, One Eye Open. You got to keep one eye open, and that is the local Juno Metallica cover band. And they're going to be over at Tracy's Crab Shack 2 across here from KTO tomorrow night. It's sort of like an opening celebration for Tracy's, because they will be open this summer. We weren't sure if they were going to be open or not, but they are going to be open this summer. And so When I Open will be there playing some tunes at around 8:30. And I've got three of the bandmates here in the studio now to chat about that show, maybe some heavy metal conversation, and their drive to keep hanging, headbanging, you know, headbanging beats. I love it. So I have Marcus Beckman, Gunas cheesh. Welcome back, Marcus.
Hey, thanks for having us. And
yeah, for sure. I think last time I saw you, you're here with your other project, yeah. Sunny Porch, yeah. Along with Melanie. That was great. And then Chris Gilford.
Chris Gilford.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome in. How's it going, Chris?
It's going good. Just been out riding bike and doing pedicab tours downtown, and I got done and came over here for this.
Nice. That's so good.
It's a good day.
And then I also have Jake Sobolev here as well. So welcome in, Jake. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying my week off. I work week on, week off. So.
Oh, nice.
And Marcus also does the same. So we plan our shows for on the week off, and we've been trying to plan a show for a while now. We've had a couple get canceled on us this year, so we're super excited to finally have one going on.
Nice.
This
Are you? Do you work out with Marcus out at the?
He works out at Snedisham, but yeah. I also work for ALMP. I just work out Thane Road, so I get to go home every day.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's nice. But when the one week on, 1 week off, is that still like a 12-hour day or whatever it is?
Yeah, I work 12-hour days yeah. when I'm out there.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And then you're jamming the rest of the time. I guess when you do that, it gives you a lot of time to like get in the studio and practice and just kind of hang out.
Well, it depends, because sometimes other people are on vacation, so we kind of have 1 week out of 2 weeks that we have a chance to practice if nobody's gone or doing other things. But yeah, like Marcus and I can certainly play on our weeks off, but we got to work around Jerry and Chris's work schedules.
Right, for sure. Okay, so let me get this. I'm assuming that Marcus, you're playing bass.
Yep.
Okay, I figured that. And of course, I always like to say, to me, like they always say, the coolest person in the band is the bass player. The most chill, you know, coolest, usually cigarette hanging out of the mouth, you know, just over there, you know, keeping the beat going.
Marcus does a lot.
I bet.
Marcus,
I know he does.
Helps out yeah. in yeah. many, many ways.
Oh, I'm not saying they're lazy. I'm just saying they're the coolest.
Yeah. That's true.
It might be a little lazy.
And then, so Jake, and what do you play in the band? What do you do in the band?
I play guitar and I sing.
Okay.
And then Jerry, who's not here with us, he's working today. He plays most of the lead guitar. He came back to town from Indiana. He's from here.
Okay.
So that's been super lucky to have him. When Chris invited him to jam with us the first couple times, I might have got my feathers ruffled a little bit, being like, wait a minute, I play lead guitar here, but I figured out pretty soon that he is just incredible. And, yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll just stop playing guitar altogether and just sing, and the rest of the band holds it down. And
you need to do like the, you know, the old Guns N' Roses when they had basically two lead guitarists, right? They kind of had two. They had Slash and they had Izzy, and they were both, they'd go back and forth.
Yeah, we like to trade off sometimes. Yeah. I mean, he plays most of the solos, but he's still cool with me saying, well, I like this one. Why don't you let me handle this
one here?
There
you go. I like that.
And then, of course, if we get like the harmony guitars going, I mean, that's the coolest, right?
Yeah. And then, Chris, you play?
I'm a drummer.
You're the drummer. Okay. Yeah. You're the one keeping all those beats.
I'm the one working the hardest, I think.
Yeah.
You get the biggest workout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with kind of metal music, man. These guys are no slouches when it comes to banging the drum.
It's fast, and the hardest part for me is keeping it fast on the fast songs, because it's when you get tired, your body naturally wants to kind of slow down a little bit. Well, we can't have that, so I gotta, you know, if we start at one tempo, hopefully we finish very close to the same tempo I started off, but you know, it gets tiring.
Chris has been staying in shape because he's pedaling 500 pounds of tourists around all day long, and then coming and trying to work on his double bass while we're
I love
playing
that.
The Metallica songs.
So how long have you all been together as One Eye Open?
Like 3.5 years?
Yeah, I was going to say 3 years probably.
3 years or so? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at your Facebook page. There is a Facebook page for these guys where you can see them, some live performances, jamming and playing some of these tunes. And it does go back, I think it went back for me at least 2024. And then I was like, oh, they've been around
2022
a while.
Was the 30-year reunion, I think it was 30, for Jerry Lumba's class. He was class of 92 JD High. I was class of 93, so I helped. Jake and I played with Jerry for his class reunion, and then after that's when we all got together.
And then Jerry kind of moved back shortly after that, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. So that's the. Yeah.
And so why this cover band? Who had the sort of impetus to say, hey, we should do this as a thing?
Well, I mean, I guess a lot of us have been playing Metallica tunes since high school, but I used to sit around and play Metallica tunes, and that's how I got my fingers to work as a guitar player learning stuff. But I thought it would, you know, I didn't have a band that could really do it all. And so maybe that's similar to what Jerry has going on as well, because he learned all these solos back in the day, and now we both have a band that can really lay it all down. So
how long does it take to learn one of these solos?
Well,
I guess I don't know. And mastering it,
yeah,
right?
I mean, difference. Like the solos and the songs take a long time to do. We've talked about that a few times because I play different kinds of music. When Andy Cook, Bad Dog Blues Society comes to town, we play blues tunes, and sometimes I can figure out how to play a blues tune in like 5 or 10 minutes, or sometimes no warning. Andy will just say, "Oh, this one's going to be an A and a shuffle."
Right?
An A,
yeah, hit it.
You can just do it and do it your own way. But some of these Metallica songs have taken us quite some time of practicing all together and practicing at home. And, yeah, there's a lot of work into some of these songs.
Because I feel like that would be a myth to dispel, right, which is that this is easy music to play. Like and it's not, because
definitely
like Chris was saying,
yeah,
it's like it's very fast.
Yeah.
Like it requires precision, it seems like, to really be all together and like making it happen. And we're not even talking about the vocals yet. Like that's nuts. Who's doing all the lead vocals? Is that you, Jake?
Yeah, that's me.
Wow. And that's an interesting thing too, in terms of like, you know, are you trying to, you know, get the sense of what Metallica is but do your own spin, or are you trying to like, you know, be James in terms of vocal style?
Well, I mean, yeah, I can't sound like James. I can just do my best to sound like me and sing on time and
sing as fast as you can.
And you know, most of the time I play the riffs and sing, and every once in a while I just give up on the riff and let the rest of the band handle it.
Right,
come back
right.
later.
I got you. Yeah. That is so fun. So then you've been playing this for a while, for 3 years or so. And then you also play, you don't just play Metallica though, right? You have some other songs that you sort of bring in once in a while, or are you mostly sticking to Metallica?
Well, yeah, we've played some some other metal and classic rock stuff. We played some Megadeth and some Judas Priest, and Marcus and I have been in a, Marcus and me and Chris were in a the High Fives band together. We used to play reggae music, and so we've messed around with some different stuff. And we play, and then these two guys played blues with me with Andy Cook. Mm. We played blues last Memorial Day weekend in Hoonah, and we're hoping to play some more blues this summer in July.
So, and are you in a ton of bands too, Chris?
No, just one or two.
One or two. Okay. And Marcus, I know you have Sunny Porch and then this, and is that, are you in other bands? Or
no,
is,
that's it.
That's enough, right? That's enough. Yeah, that's but plenty. It sounds like, Jake, you might be all over the place a little bit.
I've felt pretty busy for the past few months. We got this Metallica band going on, and I've got a birthday party band for Alex Curtin. That's going to be kind of a one-off thing for her 40th birthday party that we've been working on, and Vox Borealis a cappella singing stuff sometimes.
Right.
And then next month, some blues stuff coming up. So
that's very cool.
You know, this whole work thing kind of gets in the way sometimes.
Darn that work, man. So what are we going to be hearing tomorrow night? What do we got on the docket? You're going to be starting at 8:30 tomorrow night over there at Tracy's Crab Shack 2, right across the street here from KTOO at 300 Whittier Street. This is when I open on Juno Afternoon. We're talking about Metallica. Yeah, so tell me what you got.
Well, we've got a pretty good chunk of tunes off of the And Justice for All album, which is pretty amazing. And like the way that Jerry plays these solos is just incredible. So we're really excited about that. We're going to start the show off with a number of those songs. And then we've just got a kind of mix of some of their more classic stuff.
The greatest hits kind of
thing. All the way from Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets and the Black Album, kind of a mix of those songs. And it's not going to be a super long concert, just about an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like with the pace, like Chris was talking about, and I mean, you're all, you know, let's just be real, we're not spring chickens here, right?
So
like,
it's gonna be a long day for me.
He's still a kid.
It's a thing, right? To the endurance of it, right?
Right.
I would imagine, like, how is it on your voice, Jake?
It's not too bad. Like, the voice is interesting because, like, if I'm sick, I can still play guitar, but the voice, not. So luckily, I don't feel sick. But if I'm not sick, I can make it through it, no problem. But
all this weather kind of. You know,
but that's the scary part when you have a concert planned and you suddenly get sick. Your voice is not the same as just playing guitar. You know.
Yeah.
It affects it badly.
Now, this is just my personal, you know. Do you play any Ozzy or any Black Sabbath? Have you guys ever done some
good
of that?
Good question.
Yeah. that Ozzy show that we played in November was pretty much the favorite gig that I've ever played. There was an amazing
crowd. You did
like
I wish I had known about this.
Yeah.
I love Ozzy, man. Like, you played a bunch of Ozzy stuff?
We played a bunch of Black Sabbath and Ozzy tunes in November, and that show was very fun, and the crowd was very fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the very first.
And I love Ozzy, and so it was just awesome to be able to do a tribute to him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it was like third grade. I don't know what, I was really young, and the first song I heard was Iron Man. My buddy, who was older than me, like in, you know, middle school, was like, you got to hear this tune.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just hooked, you know, and then it was all the Ozzy solo stuff and Randy Rhoads and all that. Awesome stuff. That live album that Randy Rhoads has. Oh
tribute,
God.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I listened to that one a bunch, and I had the tablature book for that, you know, trying to study and learn the solos of that. You know, it's like I couldn't really learn them all, but I still learned a lot.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
He was a beast. That's really cool. And so you are going to be playing more gigs with One Eye Open as the year goes on, or you guys? Because I know you said sometimes you get booked and then it sort of messes up. But you gotta. But we need more metal.
Well, one thing that we're super excited about is 4th of July at the Douglas Pavilion. And
4th of July Douglas Pavilion.
So that's maybe like the biggest crowd you'll ever get in Juneau. So we're very excited to do that. Hopefully we'll get nice weather. But
I love that.
Not everybody's going to be a Metallica fan, but there's that sound is going to carry for a long ways. So.
How do you feel the reception of, because I think I had some other musicians in here recently. We were talking about this, just that, you know, like heavy metal or harder rock, like that's not necessarily what Juneau is known for. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're known for folk fest and the blues and all that kind of stuff. But so what do you find the reception is for sort of like the heavier stuff?
You got Metallica is a classic metal band. So it's really unusual to find people that don't appreciate or at least know of it. And the people that do appreciate it, it almost makes it intimidating because that means that they know the songs like perfectly. And so if you don't play it or you miss a spot or something like that, like they know because they've been listening to this music since the 80s and stuff. So
yeah,
it can make it difficult and intimidating.
Well, that's the interesting thing about a cover band, right? Because like, you know, sometimes when you see like the actual band, like they change stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they've morphed. Like I was listening to some clip the other day. I think it was Sting. Sting was talking about like, you know, yes, he still loves to play Roxanne for everybody every night, but he also tries to find new shades and tries to do different
things. I love
listening
to Sting and the Police.
Yeah, and like those are great things for them to be able to do, but with a cover band, you kind of want to like, you want the song the way it is, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to mess around with that and be like, oh, we're going to go off on a tangent here. No, we got to play it like it is.
Well, one thing that's kind of uniquely awesome, you know, we're going to start and play a bulk of Injustice for All.
Yeah.
And the bass has been really kind of omitted in the recordings. The bass is really great. The bass player that did the album is great, but they really just kind of, you know, just didn't really raise it up enough in the mix.
Oh.
So now with some of those tunes, you'll get to hear some real good upfront bass that you wouldn't with the album, and that does change the songs a little bit. I do feel like
okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge Jason Newsted fan, and I love it when Jerry starts to take these long solos, and then I kind of just scoot over and hang out next to Marcus here while we kind of try and lock in.
Nice. Well, that's you're going to see One Eye Open tomorrow across the street here from K2 at Tracy's Crab Shack 2. They are going to be serving some food, even though they're not officially open, right? That's what I heard?
I think they are not going to be serving some food.
Oh, they're not going to be
serving. They're just going to be having drinks, and then she had thought that they might be officially open earlier, but I guess for tomorrow it'll just be drinks.
It'll just be drinks for tomorrow. Okay. And then you'll be able to see them there and then also at the 4th of July at the Pavilion over in Douglas with a whole bunch of other bands, I'm sure. And we're going to stick some Metallica in there. So that's going to be fun. Well, I really appreciate y'all being here, Marcus, Chris, and Jake. Thank you so much. It's One Eye Open. They're going to be playing tomorrow night, 8:30 across the street. Gonna Cheese for being here today. I really appreciate it. Have fun. And don't hurt yourselves.
Thanks
so much.
Shout out to Jerry Lumba, our guitarist who couldn't make it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Boston.
Jerry.
This is Bird Note. Molly Adams founded the Feminist Bird Club to try to make birding safer and more inclusive.
Birders who are Black, visibly disabled, and queer are going to face challenges while birding that cisgender, able-bodied white people do not. And our goal is to reduce these obstacles.
Along with co-author Sydney Golden Anderson, Molly wrote a book titled Birding for a Better World that welcomes newcomers to birding and offers ways to make events more inclusive and accessible.
We hope that this book encourages organizers to consider what needs they might not already be meeting and find ways to accommodate them. Throughout the book, you'll see a lot of suggestions from other birding organizations and ways that organizers can look to their own members and other groups in their community.
The book also debunks some myths that can scare people away from birding, Sydney says.
Birding does not necessarily mean bird walk. In fact, you don't have to walk at all while birding. Birding is for all people of all ages and abilities. You don't have to have fancy equipment to begin birding. And yes, you're a birder, even if you're a beginner.
What's more, Sydney says that birding can help improve our world.
birding with mindfulness can be a profoundly healing practice that can help one redevelop a sense of interconnectivity with nature. How to just be there and coexist and do so in a way that's sustainable and gentle and careful and reciprocal.
Learn more about the book on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jonice Franklin.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and we're going to end this week and this hour talking to Tara Patterson from CBJ Pools, who joins me now in the studio. Ganathchi Swasiti, how are you this fine Friday, Tara?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So let's get right into it. We got awesome pool stuff happening. We got some swim lessons coming up and availability of swim lessons. Tell me what's happening.
Yeah. Well, we have our summer swim lesson registration open now, and it's a little abnormal, but we still have a few spots left for every level between the two pools. We have two sessions in June at Diamond Park Aquatic Center. The first one is June 1st. Starts on June 1st. They're Monday through Thursday classes for 2 weeks.
And this is for what ages are these classes?
So they're preschool and youth ages.
Okay.
So starting as young as three.
Wow.
And going up to 12 years old. And those are morning classes. In the summer, we do morning swim lessons for the kiddos. And so then we have one starting June 1st, one starting June 22nd. And then we also have a session Monday, Wednesday evenings at Augustus Brown Pool. And both of those still have some spots left, which is kind of unusual. They fill up pretty fast. So.
Yeah, I know. Usually when you're on here, it's always like, well, we have like one spot left or something like that.
Well, we don't have a lot of spots. We did for several days after, but it's been open for about a week and a half. So
okay, so get yourself signed up with the kids. Do you call the young, like you said, as young as three, and I was just thinking, mm-hmm. do you call them like, you know, tadpoles or something?
No.
Or there's some cute name for the class?
No, we just call them preschool swimmers. We do have a class called Little Swimmers, which is really cute, but
that's fun.
That's not happening right now.
Okay, awesome.
We have another fun name class coming up that I wanted to talk about called Floga.
Floga?
Floga. And
that,
Floga.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Floating yoga.
You got it.
Aha! Look at me. I'm so smart.
Boston for the win.
That's cool.
So that's Tuesday evenings, and you do have to pre-register for that because we have limited number of floating boards.
Okay.
But
can you describe what floating yoga is?
It's a blast. It's very similar to yoga, only you're doing it on the water, and so you're on
a board
mm-hmm.
that's floating, and then you're on top of that.
Because mm-hmm.
I would feel like, I know there's people who like exercise in the water, like they walk because it's better for sometimes easier on your bones and things
right.
So I was wondering, like, are you're floating, but no, you're saying you're on
a
board.
That is not the case. And actually what I've done the class several times.
Yeah.
The big difference is that you really have to work on your balance because the boards have a little bit of move to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good core workout on top of doing yoga because you're having to balance yourself a little the whole time you're
going. Did you fall in?
The first time, yes, I did. The instructor and I both did on our dry run the first night.
That's pretty fun. I love that.
But it's fun to fall in. Like it's just, it happens.
And, yeah, of course.
You just get back on your board.
Just get
it's
back on
good.
The board and make it happen.
Yeah.
And so when is this one happening?
That's Tuesday nights, 6:45 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to pre-register for that. We have spots open right now. Registration opens Fridays at noon for the Tuesday class. Last week we didn't fill up. The 3 weeks before that we did. So
it's a weekly sign up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a extended class.
Correct.
Okay. So if you can go 1 week and you can't go the next, you're totally fine.
Exactly.
You just sign up at Friday at, would you say noon?
At noon.
Yeah, noon. Okay.
But you can sign up now. There's still space.
And you go to cbjpools.org, right?
JunoPools.org is
JunoPools.
Our, yeah.
Okay. JunoPools.org yep. is the easy link to get to the pages for all these signups that we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I also wanted to talk a little bit about our summer hours. Summer mm-hmm. is upon us. And so we are going to be moving over to our summer hours on Tuesday. And we also have some special hours this weekend. Sunday, Diamond Park is closed for graduation.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we'll be open Monday morning, 8 to noon.
You'll be open on Memorial Day?
Yeah. Diamond Park will.
Okay, Diamond
Augustus
Park.
Brown will be open regular hours Sunday and closed Monday. So they're kind of flip-flopped. So you can go to one pool one day and one pool the other day.
There you go. Take a little tour of Juno.
Yes, that's yeah. right.
Because we have two pools.
That's right. We
one
do have
downtown
two.
And one for the valley.
Oh, and people love their pools.
They love
their
pools.
They like to be at their pool, not the other one. They're particular.
Territorial. Yeah.
Yes. And they're both amazing pools, so yeah. we're lucky to have them both. And the other thing I wanted to remind or tell people about is that with our summer hours starting next week, we have Tuesday, Thursday afternoon open swims that feature the yellow slide. And the yellow
Ooh.
Slide doesn't come on all the time, so it's kind of a big deal.
Okay. And tell me, yeah. what is the yellow slide?
The yellow slide. So we have two slides at Diamond Park. The red slide's always on. That goes into the rec pool, the smaller pool. The yellow slide drops off into the lap pool, and it's
oh.
a little bit faster and a sharper drop than the red slide.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And that's going to be open during open swim.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays.
On Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yes. Lots of fun. So, our summer hours always look a little bit different than the rest of the year at Diamond Park. So
okay.
be sure and check Great. That out.
Yeah, absolutely.
More open swims.
Awesome. Open swims are available. And the full schedule is available at junopools.org in
it
terms
sure
of because there's varying times and varying things and different days and
Correct.
All that kind of stuff. So you can find out all of that over at junopools.org. Is that everything with the pools?
That's everything with the pools. We have some other fun stuff
happening. Yeah, I wanted to make sure you mentioned the stuff over at Treadwell.
Yes, our friends over at Treadwell are going into their cement season, which means that they are offering pickleball and roller skating.
Roller skating?
Roller skating. Roller skating happens. They're doing two sessions. It's 12 to 1 and 6 to 7, and those are Tuesday through Saturdays. And the Friday and Saturday sessions are disco skate. So that's extra fun.
Extra. They have the ball and everything.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Take you back to the days of, yore.
When I remember when I was like in middle school, that was a thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's $5 per person, $5 per person. But they don't rent out the skates, so you have to bring your own. That's
bring
the
your
only,
own roller skates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one's a fun one. And then open pickleball, it's happening currently. It goes through July 2nd, available 1:30 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Saturday, 1:30 to 5, pickleball. Mm-hmm. Do you play the pickleball yourself?
I have. I don't play regularly.
Yeah. You're not on a team. You're not in a league.
No, I'm working 1:30 to 5:30.
Oh, that's
most
true.
Most days.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You have a job.
I do. But I have a fun job, so
right,
I'm
right,
not
right.
complaining.
Right. I got you. Okay, cool. And so that's over. That's they call it the cement season.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, I love that name.
It means all the ice is gone.
Yeah.
And it's just the cement underneath. So it's kind of cool to see what it looks like without the ice.
Yeah, for sure. And
yeah.
offer different opportunities to be on it because some people don't do the skating.
Right.
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 So, I mean,
if
the
you're
ice
not
skating.
Coordinated.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, those ice skates, you can fall.
Yeah.
On your butt
I've never been
easily.
Good at them because I feel like I have weak ankles.
Me too.
And I flip flop. But roller skates.
roller skates you can do.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. And then I know there's summertime and we have summertime movies and you're going to have one. You have one coming up here pretty soon.
We sure do. We're doing The Lorax and that's being shown at Floyd Dryden Gym on June 13th. And that's brought to you by the Juneau Public Libraries and Friends of the Public Libraries.
Okay. Do you do the? Are you doing the thing this summer? Don't you do movies in the pool?
We actually do movies in the pool, but we don't do them in the summer it's too light outside. And so you can't see the screen very well when it's light outside. So we have to wait till winter to do the movies in the pools.
Gotcha.
So that you can actually see the screen.
I see. Okay. That makes sense. That's what I was thinking in my brain, what this would be. But then when you said Floyd Dryden, I was like, that's not possible. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So, but it's, and these are with the library. So that means it's probably free. And people can show up and bring their kiddos and all that. The Lorax is a wonderful little movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. So that's on June 13th.
Correct.
Okay, and is that on the Juneau Pools website or is that going to be on like the library website?
I believe you can find it on the library's website or the General Parks and Recreation website.
Okay.
Because it is a Parks and Rec event.
I got you.
Oh, and I should also tell people if you get there up to 30 minutes early, there's going to be a chance to win a $50 gift card at the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
So they've got some fun little giveaways there.
Awesome. Well, swimming season is here. Summer is here. The hours are changing. Lots of signups available, classes, go get registered, get your kiddos registered, get yourself registered for FLOGA.
Yes. Don't miss it. It's fun.
And then check out Cement Season and also the movie over at Floyd Dryden. Everything available at JunoPools.org or on the general, Parks and Recreation website. Just put CBJ Parks and Rec in your favorite search engine of choice and you'll find that website.
That's right.
Tara, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. This is Juneau Afternoon. We're going to go out today with a little Ashley Young with her song Secrets that she played live here on the red carpet stage on Juneau Afternoon.
If you think I like you, I do. Nothing that I've tried can untangle me from you. Drive me so wild. Eyes glued to your smile now. It's been so long that you're catching on.
Yeah. Ashley Young with her song Secrets here on Juno Afternoon. That's going to do it for this week's Juno Afternoon. Have a fantastic holiday weekend. We are Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7 with a rebroadcast at 7 p.m. You can find the show online at ktoo.org, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or offer feedback or suggestions, and find out how to be a guest on the show. You can find our live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh! Enjoy your weekend, everyone.